Fazioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
We're on air right now, yeah. I'm hosting the show. It's now the Matt DeSantis program.
So typically for the guys in the room, usually wait till the host is back and then start the show. Usually buy time, like throw in a commercial, a spot, you know, something like that. Just a pro tip going forward. Who's running the board?
Jim.
Jim, is this your first day, Jim? It's all right. Don't worry. Don't even answer that. It's all right. We're back. Well, welcome back to the show. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for being here. It is our 30 minutes of nonstop talk brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. My happy place. We'd love there this summer. And don't forget to make those midweek reservations this July. It is New Jersey's full service resort beachfront destination. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. The question right now that we're all dealing with is, will CNN relent to the request of the White House Correspondents Association, and that is to allow the press in the room? But first, let me welcome our special guest to the show, and that is Congressman Wesley Hunt. It's an honor to have you on the show, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, I am doing fantastic.
I'm here in Atlanta right now getting ready to go to a debate watch party, and I am fired up, excited, and I cannot wait to watch President Trump absolutely dominate tonight.
Yeah, he is going to dominate. I can hear the excitement that's going on right now. Now, you represent Texas's 38th district. You're a member of the House Judiciary Committee. I'll talk about that as well. You were also yesterday, as I understand it, you were part of a roundtable for black-run businesses in Atlanta.
Yes, I was, and it was fantastic. I was there with Byron Donis, Dr. Ben Carson, myself, and we had a substantive conversation in the black community and a black-owned business talking about how black issues are American issues. And then the cherry on top was President Trump calling in and spending time for 15 minutes just taking questions from whoever was in the room. And you can never imagine a former president and future president taking time out of his day to call a black-owned barbershop to hear about their issues. President Trump is going where no Republican has bravely gone for the last few decades. He's going to Philly. He's going to the Bronx. He has Byron Donalds and myself as surrogates for him in Atlanta as we speak. This is absolutely amazing. It's moving the needle. He is going to get a record amount of the black vote, I can assure you, because he is earning it.
Well, you know, you said he mentioned he came to Philly. Yes, he did. And he went to North Philly. He went to Temple, where no Republican has ever campaigned before. He was right in the heart of it, Congressman Hunt. And I say, great. You know, this is a president. This is a candidate who is running for president, reaching black voters. And the new CNN poll that came out today shows him with almost 40% of the black vote nationally going into this election. I mean, that's amazing.
It's amazing. And we have to make sure that these polls translate in November. We have to get these people out to the polls. The best part, though, about being in that barbershop was President Trump brought up his mugshot. And what was amazing is that there was a Never Surrender mugshot poster in the barbershop standing behind us while he was talking, and President Trump had no idea that that was happening. Black America is waking up. Biden has been a complete disaster for us and all Americans for the past 4 years, and he must be replaced. And that was the sentiment that came out of that meeting. And I cannot wait for us to translate these polls, translate these numbers right now to the polls in November.
So you are putting your money where your mouth is, and you made a six-figure ad buy during tonight's presidential debate. It targets President Joe Biden's real record when it comes to black people. It's a 60-second ad. We're going to play it in just a moment. But what inspired you to do that, Congressman Hunt, and put your money where your mouth is and spend all this money to do it?
I was the first person to endorse President Trump when he announced for his presidency this year. We have been all in from the very beginning. And what we knew from the very beginning is that if we can get the black male vote in, it's over. So we decided to do this ad to convey who the real racist is. What we always know is that Democrats call President Trump racist and a white supremacist and all that jazz about me and Byron being the black face of white supremacy. And what we wanted to do was articulate that Joe Biden is the real racist because of his policies. He exalted a eulogized and exalted Cyclops for the KKK. And so what are we talking about here? This is a guy that said, if you don't vote for me, then you ain't black. It's a complete joke. So this ad articulates those sentiments, and we're going to play it right in the heart of the debate.
I love it. I think it's fantastic that you're doing it. I really do. And by the way, thank you for your service, because I really appreciate your service to the American people, not only what you're doing now, but also as an Army veteran and a West Point graduate. How does it make you feel when you've got white liberals who go after you and your colleagues, like you just mentioned, and call you Uncle Toms and everything else? I find it to be the most racist, disgraceful thing people can say.
I don't take it badly at all. I actually take it as a badge of honor. These people are terrified of people like me and Byron Donalds. They're terrified of somebody like President Trump going into the black community and executing the way that we are. So at the end of the day, if we do our job, again, get black males to the polls, and also don't forget black women as well. If we do this the right way, we're going to be all right.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Thinking in terms of how the Democrat Party has taken the black vote for granted all these years, and the Hispanic vote too, and I mean Trump's winning with Hispanic voters too, taking these demographics for granted and said, we just assume you're going to vote for us. You know, as Biden said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. So disrespectful. When you were talking to the black business owners in that roundtable yesterday, Congressman Wesley Hunt, they're sensing that feeling of being taken for granted by the Democrat Party, right?
Of course, and this is a what have you done for me lately conversation. We all know that the Democrat Party hasn't done anything for us, and every 4 years they come around and they pander to us and they promise black people reparations and they start paying for student loans and all this crazy stuff in order to get the black vote. But for the past 5 years, it didn't work. Inflation is at an all-time high. Our border is a complete disaster. We can't afford groceries. We are not safer. This is a very easy choice when you had a former president running against a current president, and we knew that we had it good then. Now it's been horrible for the last 4 years, and we have an opportunity in November to make it great. And I also want to emphasize this is actually not about race. And at some point, I want to move on from talking about black people and Hispanic people. I want to talk about Americans. We are all in the same boat. Our middle class is getting killed, regardless of what you look like. People are woken up to it. And it's translating in the polls. It's going to translate in November.
Yeah, I agree with you. And let's move on from that. I'm happy to do it. You talked about how human traffickers from all over the world have entered our country in the highest numbers under Joe Biden, and includes ISIS. And yesterday you had Alejandro Mayorkas refute that and say that's not true. NBC News, he called it fake news. I guess he called it a cheap fake. But they were using reporting from the Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas's actual literal office.
Oh, I mean, well, of course they are. And we've watched what Alejandro Mayorkas has done for the past few years. I mean, he does not deserve to have this job. He should have been impeached a long time ago. The number one role for the federal government is to keep her citizens safe, and we have failed. We've had 11 million people enter our country illegally, enough fentanyl to kill every American 6 times. We know what's happening, and we're watching it. Mayorkas has been a complete disaster.
And it's been a disaster, too, in terms of just eroding America's confidence here, dealing with this issue. And then the Biden administration doesn't care, you know, that you've got illegal immigrants killing American citizens. They mock it. They laugh at it. They don't think it's a big deal. Somebody made a great point tonight. You know, President Trump should ask Joe Biden, name 3 people who were killed by illegal immigrants. Joe, say their names out loud and see if he can do it. I guarantee you he can, Congressman Hunt. I don't think he cares.
Of course, he doesn't care. And being in Houston, I was there when we lost that 12-year-old little girl a couple of days ago. And as a father of 2 little girls, I am absolutely devastated at what happened, because we allowed 2 animals to enter our country and murder this girl, strangle her and throw her in a creek. And I can imagine how this is acceptable to anyone in this country, regardless of your political affiliation. You should be angered by this, and you should want to be active, proactively trying to fix this, and that's not what they're doing. And we're watching this, and they aren't doing anything about it. And where's Kamala Harris? Where's our border czar? Why isn't she at this funeral today for this little girl? It's ridiculous. We are all fed up. America is fed up, and we've got to have a change.
Congressman Wesley Hunt is with me. He's a member of the House Judiciary Committee. Can I ask you about the Judiciary Committee and where things stand right now? I mean, there's been some really explosive allegations in the last couple of days regarding how, you know, the CIA was involved in drafting the letter about the Hunter Biden laptop. Just remarkable stuff of how the deep state worked to undermine President Trump and really, I mean, commit a coup against him and help Joe Biden.
Yes. I'd like to want to commend to Jim Jordan for bringing this to the attention of the American people. What I get asked all day, every day is, well, what are you going to do about it? What are you doing? Well, let's be clear about this. We don't have the Senate. We have the corrupt Biden crime family in charge and Kamala Harris. So the only thing that we can do is bring this to the attention of the American public and then allow them to respond accordingly in November. We have to hold these people accountable at some point, but we got to have the presidency. We got to have the Senate, and we have to expand our majority in the House.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Listen, I appreciate all your hard work. I appreciate you putting your money where your mouth is. And thank you for your service to our country. And keep up the great fight, Congressman Wesley Hunt. Follow him on Twitter at Wesley Hunt Texas TX. Thanks for joining us here in Philadelphia. We really appreciate it.
Of course. God bless you. Thank you for having me on.
God bless.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rizzioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Here's the ad that Congressman Hunt put together, and he's spending money to do a major, major ad buy, which is going to play tonight during the debate. Take a listen.
This is Joe Biden's real record on race.
Do you agree today that you were wrong to oppose busing in America?
I'm not a racist bone in my body. I've been involved in civil rights my whole career.
Biden claims he's a champion for civil rights, but his record would suggest otherwise.
They're going to put y'all back in chains.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Biden recalling his early Senate career, bringing up two segregationist senators, Herman Talmadge and James Eastland, who called African Americans an inferior race.
This is Joe Biden talking about Barack Obama.
You got the first sort of mainstream African American who was articulate and bright and clean and nice-looking guy.
And you don't know my state. My state was a slave state.
After 50 years of racist statements and racist policies, black Americans deserve better than Joe Biden.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Hellfire PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Amazing. That's a great ad. That's a great ad. That was a great interview, too, by Congressman Wesley Hunt. We appreciate him joining us today. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. We don't know yet about the two-minute rule. I'm hearing more people say it's a fugazi, the two-minute delay that's happening on CNN tonight. But as of right now, the White House Correspondents Association is standing by the fact that CNN is not going to allow journalists in the room. I love my contrarian friend, Johnny Cook, so much. I really do. I love him. But he's like the, I don't know, he's the angry brother I never had, I guess. I'll put it that way, because it's always amazing what sets him off. So now he's set off over the fact of the following. So let me read this to you. And again, I say this with love. I love him, but he's just sometimes picks the most thing, the craziest things to get angry about. Why aren't we talking about the internet censorship decision? Well, we did yesterday. We had Tracy Beans on. I read Alito's dissent, pretty much the entire dissent. And then in all caps, he's yelling at me, because we are focusing 100% on this dog and pony show tonight. Johnny, it's what we do. We talk about what's going on in the world, and tonight is the presidential debate. It's kind of a big deal. There may be only one. Who knows? And that's all we'll talk about tomorrow, and then the useless conventions, while the important stuff gets ignored. All right, Johnny, settle down. Settle down, first of all. Relax. But secondly, let me just mention to you that we did talk about the internet censorship yesterday. All right? There you go. Rich, redeemed yourself with the Wesley Hunt interview, the future of the Republican Party. I don't know what that means. I redeemed myself? What, how did I need to redeem myself?
I don't know what happened.
Fisher Pines, another one, is always a contrarian. I don't know what I did to need redemption, but I'm glad that I've achieved redemption, I guess. All right, that's good. My car says, I wonder what facts CNN will be running in the Chiron during the debate. Great question. And Brian McMillan says, we're cars of Brimo Hoagies, a Brutzi with long hots. I agree. No doubt about it. Ornery Hound, CNN's obstacles allow Trump to be low-key, ask the ground rules each issue, make them explain each. It would cast CNN in a dim light. This isn't a contest of outward energy. Let Biden appear boosted. Make him angry. Use his record. Slow and steady wins the day. What are you saying, Matt, right now?
Oh, no, I was just defending you that yesterday you did the 3 p.m. open on the SCOTUS decision, you did the 6 p.m. open on the SCOTUS decision, and you did about 20 minutes with Tracy Beans at 4:30 on the SCOTUS decision, if memory serves me correct.
But I'm not talking about it enough to Johnny Cook's liking. I mean, I'm sorry about that, Johnny. We can talk about it, but it's kind of, I mean, I did a lot on it yesterday, so.
Well, I don't want to beef with Johnny Cook. I like Johnny Cook, so I'll let you two go at it.
All right, we'll just fight on social media. There we go. That's fine. That works. Anybody else want to, any requests from the live Zioli Show audience today? Anyone else got a beef? Oh, got a bone to pick? Huh? Bring it. Let's go. Let's do it. All right. Let's play this. This is Sleepy Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd, this is now, is this Meet the Press weekly or Meet the Press daily or Meet the Press hourly or Meet the Press every 5 minutes? Which one is this now?
I believe it was actually not Meet the Press in any capacity. I think he was just on MSNBC.
All right. The version of Biden is not the same guy that debated Hillary Clinton and Obama. Is this part of the lower the expectations, lower the bar going into tonight's debate? Cut number four.
What's the pothole for him?
Look, peak Joe Biden was 2007 and 2008, you know, all during those primary debates with Obama and Clinton. To me, always was the clear winner of those debates. But because his campaign wasn't a major campaign, it was always dismissed. Well, you know, he's the senator. He's most well-versed. He's the most experienced. It was always written off. He's done this before. He's been in there. You know, let's really see how Hillary versus Obama was. And it was almost like he was scored separately. But it, look, that Joe Biden was very disciplined. He needed to push back on the notion that he was talked too much. Joe Biden, the vice presidential debater, I thought was a really effective debater, both against Paul Ryan and against Sarah Palin. He was very disciplined. Yeah. He's really good at moving message. But this version is not the same guy. I don't think he's as nimble as he was.
And these opponents are not the same opponents.
They're not. They're not the same. So, you know, look, I just think that I'm expecting a less risk. I'm expecting both candidates to be a bit more risk averse because big picture, both campaigns are feeling really confident this week.
Well, they should be, no doubt about it. I guess to the point about this is not the same Obama. That's what everybody's been saying. Bill Maher predicts a Trump victory, and his point about this is accurate. About the left being very, very aggressively anti-common sense. And you think about common sense and what that means. We all know our own version of common sense, but I think it comes down to a couple different things. You know, it's not letting biological dudes play on women's sports teams. It's not letting bio dudes live in their sorority houses and going in their locker rooms. It's not telling people they can't have a gas barbecue or a gas stove. It's also not allowing open borders. It's not allowing this pro-Hamas wing of the Democrat Party to get such attention. It is obviously very anti-common sense, just the border crisis alone, just the invasion at our southern border. So this is Bill Maher, and I play this because, again, Bill Maher reaches a different audience than I reach. I mean, I don't know if his audience is as big as mine. It's certainly not as loyal or as fun or as prone to sarcasm. But nevertheless, this is what he said, cut number six.
I mean, part of it, the left has to own. They are aggressively anti-common sense. Mm-hmm. The Democrats keep running on this one idea, saying to the American people, you can't possibly think you can do worse than Donald Trump. And they keep saying, yes, we can. Yeah. Yes, we can. And I understand that. I do. I would never vote for Donald Trump. And as I said, I think the Republicans are worse. But yeah, when you know, it's funny when I talk to, you know, my friends around my age, 40. And they are always bitching to me about their kids who are like in their 20s. And they're like super uber woke and they're driving their parents crazy. And everything is like, you don't get it, Mom. That's old thinking. And I'm like, don't get what? Abolish the police, tear down statues of Lincoln, maybe give communism another shot, get rid of the border patrol, get rid of capitalism. White supremacy has never been worse. Gender is always just a social construct. It's okay to have penises in the women's swimming pool and women's prisons. Okay, no, it's not that I'm old. It's that your ideas are stupid. And
well, okay, so So no, you're very cantankerous.
When people talk about Trump, that's what they should be talking about. Like, why do people? Because a lot of conservatives say to me, "What you don't get about Trump is we don't like him either."
Right. Yeah, they just hate the other stuff more.
And I don't understand. I don't blame them, because a lot of it is closer to their own home. Like, the things you hate about Trump, democracy, I understand why that's the biggest issue. But a lot of people, it's kind of vague. Ukraine's very far away. But, you know, the stuff about family and race and gender, it's very close to their own home.
Yeah. And yet you could argue that it's the sort of the octogenarians who are really causing most of the problems at the moment. I mean, you know, you're quite sort of tough on the millennials, but, you know, they have to deal with all these octogenarians who refuse to leave the stage, who've left them bankrupt, who've taken all their Social Security. So there is a lot of...
The older people this time are for Biden.
Yeah,
this is the first time in many, many elections where the older crowd, that's what with my editorial Friday night was talking about this, for the first time they are lining up behind Biden more than the Republican. You know, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be mean to the millennials or the Gen Zs, but, you know, when I see them with their Queers for Palestine banners,
I know, that's the one that really gets to you.
I'm out. Okay.
I know.
Actually, Lesbians for Hamas was my college cover band name. Did you know that? Queensryche. We are Lesbians for Hamas. It wasn't as catchy back then, but I think it's going to catch on now. I'm just saying. You know, sometimes timing's everything in life. Am I right? I will not dignify that with a response, Senator. How dare you, Senator? Now, Julian Assange is now free, but his freedom came at a very steep price. I played you the clip earlier in the week, and see if you can find it for me again, Matt, of Julian Assange talking about the Clinton corruption and selling out the State Department and enriching the Clinton Foundation. And this is the real reason why they went after Julian Assange. Let's understand that. He defended Trump by saying that he was not on Putin's payroll. He was not a Putin puppet. And Julian Assange's freedom came at a very steep price. Reason.com has this piece. This plea deal sets a threatening precedent for free speech and journalism. Before the Justice Department dropped its request for Assange to be extradited to the U.S. to stand trial, he had to plead guilty to violating the Espionage Act. This cleared the way for Assange to walk out of the maximum security prison in London where he was being held, but also sets a legal precedent that threatens free speech and journalism worldwide. Not as much as CNN is threatening journalism by not allowing any reporters to cover the debate tonight, I should mention. But Assange is not a spy. He's a publisher, guilty of embarrassing the United States government. Really, anybody who is concerned about press freedom should be deeply concerned about the prosecution of Julian Assange, said Trevor Tim, co-founder of the Freedom of the Press Foundation. Maybe some journalists don't like Julian Assange, or they have criticized one of his many actions over the years. That's all well and good, but what really matters are the acts that the Justice Department is trying to criminalize here. WikiLeaks first grabbed public attention with the 2010 release of a video titled Collateral Murder. It showed footage from a 2007 attack by soldiers in a U.S. Army Apache helicopter who gunned down more than a dozen people in Baghdad who weren't engaged in active combat. The video generated international press and controversy. Assange said his intention was to expose the another day at the office attitude of how routine that action was. The release of the Iraq war logs that followed was the largest military leak in history, revealing that more than 15,000 civilian deaths had not been publicly reported. And it exposed that the U.S. military had ignored reports of torture, rape, and murder by Iraqi authorities and soldiers. Now, I want you to remember something, too. The people who were in charge at the time, this is the Obama administration, This is John Clapper, or James Clapper, excuse me, John Brennan. These are the very same deep state hacks who would write the Hunter Biden laptop letter, saying 51 former national security officials all say the Hunter Biden laptop letter is Russian disinformation, or the laptop is Russian disinformation. These are the very same people. So Julian Assange made these deep state hacks look very bad. They made Obama look bad. And that was when the target was really put on him. It was not during the Bush years. It was the Obama years. Clapper and Brennan, these are very vindictive guys, as are the other people who are in their orbit. It's not just those two, but they're just the two names you know the most because they're always on MSNBC trashing Trump, and they both lied to Congress. Clapper lied to Congress about the spying on the American people. John Brennan broke into a skiff that was investigating the enhanced interrogation / torture report. It was a bipartisan Senate committee led by Dianne Feinstein, and he had the CIA break into that and wipe all the files and take all the information. For years, Julian Assange's critics have attacked him for supposedly meddling in the 2016 election by publishing internal Democratic National Committee emails. They've accused him of sexual assault in Sweden, and he's been vilified for hosting a show on Russian state television. But none of that is why the Justice Department prosecuted him. They prosecuted him because he published the details of U.S. military misadventures in the Middle East for the world to see, and that is not a crime. Much like journalists who make careers publishing government secrets, they would be in great danger. And this sets a precedent pointing to, for example, Bob Woodward, his book, 2011 book, Obama's Wars, as an example. That book by Bob Woodward is page after page of highly classified information. Basically, the most sensitive information that you could possibly imagine at a far higher classification level than anything WikiLeaks published. So even after Woodward published that story, that book came out, nobody ever charged him with a crime. Why not? Why not? And the reason why is because they always wanted to destroy him because he spoke the truth about the Clintons and he defended Trump on Russia collusion. Remember, the very same people who were exposed by Julian Assange would wind up in 2016 saying Donald Trump is a Russian puppet. So James Clapper, John Brennan get exposed by Julian Assange. They have an axe to grind against the guy, right? But Bob Woodward exposed him too, but they never charged Bob Woodward with anything. So how come? Well, because then Julian Assange would go on in 2016 to say Donald Trump is not a Russian asset, but Hillary Clinton absolutely sold out the United States Department of State. This makes John Brennan and James Clapper very unhappy because they're on TV every day, day in and day out, telling everybody who would listen how Donald Trump is a Russian plant, he's a Russian stooge, Putin controls him, and blah, blah, blah. So Assange is undermining them again. Then they release all the WikiLeaks files about Hillary Clinton, and they show the extent of the corruption with the Clinton Foundation. And remember, Brennan and Clapper are all backing Hillary Clinton in the 2016 campaign. They want to stop Donald Trump because Donald Trump's not going to start another war. These guys get rich off of wars. These are the very same swamp creatures that go on to be on the boards of defense contractors and big corporations. They get major contracts with MSNBC and NBC News and CNN and all the other places. Julian Assange is a threat to all these people by exposing this, but the bigger threat is Donald Trump. And Julian Assange helps Trump insofar as he exposes Hillary Clinton, and he says that there's no evidence that Donald Trump has done anything that would make him a Putin puppet. Here's what Julian Assange said back then. This is an older clip, but it's relevant. It proves the point that I'm making. Not that my points ever have to be proven, because they're always right 99.999% of the time, as Rush used to say. Take a listen.
Hillary Clinton has done quite well strategically to try and draw connection between Trump and Russia, because she has so many connections of her own. Now, my analysis of Trump and Russia is that there is no substantial connection. Why do I say that? Well, because Trump was trying to invest in Russia before Putin in the 1990s, after Putin, in fact, nearly all the way up to the present moment. And he's had no success. He did not manage to build hotels and so on in Russia. So that shows the how insubstantial his contacts are. There's an extremely well-documented pattern of when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, those people, companies, governments, who wanted a decision by the Secretary of State in their favor, making large donations to the Clinton Foundation, or in some other cases, business deals with the people around Hillary Clinton. Now, one particular instance is the approval by Secretary Clinton of selling 20% of the U.S. uranium reprocessing rights to a Russian company to be exported to Russia. So at that time, a large donation was made by those Russian interests to the Clinton Foundation. In addition, Clinton's campaign manager, Podesta, was on the board of a company called Juul Unlimited. And Juul Unlimited held some of these rights and received a $35 million investment from Russia.
Now you know why they went after Julian Assange and not Bob Woodward. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Brian is in Pottstown. Brian, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, Rich. I've been trying to talk to you for a while. I really love most of what you say, but it sounds like a wonderful record I'm listening to, and then all of a sudden I come to a scratch. And that scratch is your stance on the Ukraine.
Okay.
Okay, I just had a few questions for you, okay?
Sure.
Number one, you described the people that support aid to Ukraine as warmongers and neocons?
Well, I haven't exactly said neocons, but yeah, I mean, most of the people
I'm pretty sure you did.
All right, well, most of the people that are profiting off the war would be in the military-industrial complex, the defense-industrial industry, yeah, so...
Okay, Mark Levin supports aid to Ukraine.
Mark Levin and I don't agree on everything. It's okay.
Okay, so he's not a neocon or a warmonger, right?
I didn't use the term neocon or warmongers, but anyway, why don't you just make the point, Brian?
Well, I'm trying to question things I've heard you say in the past.
Okay.
One other thing is you're familiar with the Budapest Memorandum?
What is that?
That was an agreement with Ukraine to assure their territorial integrity when they gave up their nuclear weapons.
I'll tell you what, let me ask you this question. Do you think that this war in Ukraine should be something that Congress votes to authorize?
Yes.
Okay. So can we agree that until that happens, that the executive branch should just not be unilaterally funding this and that we should just be funding this without some sort of a debate on where we're going, where this ends, what the strategy is, how much money we spend, what the goalposts are? Can we agree on that?
Well, in an ideal world, I would say yes. But
not in an ideal world. In a world where there's a constitution, where the Article 1 of the Constitution says Congress declares war, that's exactly what should happen. It's not an ideal world. It's a world where we follow the Constitution.
Yeah, okay. In a lot of cases, that doesn't happen.
But it should, though, right? I mean,
how
much
should
we spend? Do we spend $300 billion on Ukraine? What's the number here?
I don't think you can quantify it.
All right. So what's the goal? What's the goal?
I think Russia has to realize they're not going to succeed.
And then what if that takes us 10 years?
Well, I mean, what if it takes 50 years? That's speculative.
Okay.
Well, I think if you put enough pressure
right?
on
isn't
it,
that why we, isn't that why we have Congress debate these things so we can ask these questions? I mean, what if the only way to push Russia back is to actually have the United States military involved? Would you support troops on the ground?
No.
Why not? You just said yourself that we got to stop Russia, so why would you not support it? That's the only way we can stop them. Why would you not support it?
Because I think they can be stopped without putting boots on the ground.
Well, what I'm saying to you is, what if it turns out they can't? We keep spending all this money, they keep losing, and the only way to actually stop them, if Russia is such a threat, is actually go all in and defeat them. Why would you not support that?
No, we're not... Ukraine is not a member of NATO. We have no reason to do that.
So you're good with writing checks, but you don't want any other actions. So you're upset that I'm bothered by we're just writing checks that are not winning and we're not debating anything, and that's a problem?
Well, you're shaping the argument a different way. I'm
shaping the argument the way I've been shaping it ever since.
Taking issue with some of the things I've heard you say about Ukraine in the past.
I can shape it based on what I'm actually saying right now in this moment. Versus things that you think I've said in the past, which is right now, right here.
No, things that I know you've said, right,
Brian,
Rich.
I'm asking you the question. Honestly, I'm trying to be respectful here. I'm asking the question. If you know the only way we can defeat Russia here, to help Ukraine defeat Russia, is to militarily go in and defeat Russia, why would you be against that?
Because they're not a part of NATO.
Okay, so then shouldn't Congress then figure out how much money they're going to spend until we say enough is enough, this isn't working?
Do you think that's likely to happen?
I'm asking you if Congress should do that.
Yeah, Congress should do it.
Okay, so if they don't do that and they don't have that debate and I'm against that because I don't like my money just being wasted because this obviously is not winning, why can't I have that point of view?
I'm not saying you can't have that point of view. My issue is your portrayal. I mean, I've heard you say the Ukrainians were Nazis.
Well, Brian, I think you listen to a lot of different people and maybe try to...
No, I listen to you.
All right, so,
you
Brian...
You can go back in your logs if you want to and listen, but...
Right, can you pull up the one where I said the Ukrainians were Nazis?
I don't think I'm going to be able to find it.
Find that for me. That'd be helpful. All right, so, Brian, so basically, you're going to just... You're going to say we spend whatever it takes, $72 trillion, whatever it takes.
What did we spend in the Cold War?
Well, a lot of money. We spent a lot of money in the Cold War. Absolutely.
Right.
So we're just going to keep spending. If it doesn't work, then what?
Well, we succeeded, right, in the Cold War?
All right, so blank check. Ukraine gets a blank check.
Well, you have to make sure that they're spending it correctly.
Okay, and if I have issues with how they're spending it because it seems like there's a lot of corruption involved and all the money's not reaching where it's supposed to go, can I say that?
Of course that's an issue.
So you're in for helping Ukraine up until a point.
I think they can succeed.
And if they can't, what happens if they can't, Brian? You're just going to be willing to let Russia win?
What happens if they can? I mean,
what happens if they can't is my question. What happens if they can't, Brian? Brian, what happens if they can't? Do you just let Russia win? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Say that.
If it turns out Ukraine can't win by just getting checks from the United States of America, why are you okay with letting Russia win?
Because they're not a NATO state.
Okay.
We don't have an agreement
to do that.
All
right, so then I guess my point is I'm not okay with just a blank check. I want more than that. Thank you, Brian, for the call. Appreciate it very much. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli is the number if you want to weigh in. My show log goes back to October. What are you saying now at the show log?
Oh, my show log document goes back to October 3rd, 2022. It's 1,160 pages long. I just searched for you calling Ukrainians Nazis, and it yielded nothing.
Why don't you check again?
Okay, I'll run the same search and I'll get the same result.
Why don't you check again? All right, I'll see you guys. All right, have a great night. 855-839-1210. Look, we have a constitution in the United States. We have a corrupt president who is just writing checks to Ukraine because Ukraine has the receipts. The money, it's not working. We're not winning. They're not winning. And this money is just being wasted. It's helping the defense industrial complex get rich, but it's not helping Ukraine win. So if we really think that Russia is such a threat, that Russia winning in Ukraine means global domination by Vladimir Putin, have that debate in Congress. Have Congress vote to authorize war and then do what you have to do to make sure that Ukraine wins. If not, I'm tired of just having us write whatever check Joe Biden demands because they have the receipts on his corruption. If that puts me at odds with my friend Mark Levin, so be it. We don't have to agree on everything. My wife and I don't agree on everything. I mean, she does not agree that I'm the greatest husband of all time. And she should. So you can agree to disagree. It's all right. 855-839-1210. We'll take a quick break, but I do want to tell you before we go to break about my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. They are fantastic. They do a great job, and they will do great work for your home. Emmons is first rate. You call them today, and they'll be out there giving you an estimate that you will love because they do timeless work. Windows, siding, doors, roofing, and yes, they also do renovations now as well. Just go to emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com. Call them today. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. Our entire region will benefit from the great work of Emmons, just like we have for so many years. Seven years we've been using Emmons. They first did our roof, then they did our windows, then they did our doors, and now they're doing other projects for us as well. Trust and integrity are everything, and my friends Matt and Stephanie will take great care of you. So go to emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com.
The Zeoli Show, on your schedule, from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Primo Hoagies is the official hoagie of the Philadelphia Phillies, and make your next game day or party Primo. Order online at primohoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. That bread, look at those meats. Look at that. Look at that gabagool.
Looks very good.
It's some gabagool right there.
You're making me hungry.
A little gabagool. Go get some bologna sandwiches over there. Getting some Wonder Bread. Greg's in the Northeast. Greg, how are you, sir?
Guys, before I get to my point about the is the sanctimonious one there, the young Harvard elitist, is he eating peanut butter and jelly crustables in his underoos?
Thank God there's no underoos, because we do have a live audience, but...
I had to leave the underoos at home today.
Yeah, he's basically doing that.
Sure. Make it sure. But I think, Rich, on the CNN, I think it's a bunch of hogwash. I think the White House is saying this when they're really in control and they don't want any of it. They want nothing. So I it's a little conspiratorial, but I think that if CNN... Why wouldn't CNN want that?
Want what? Great. They have exactly
to have the other cameras in there.
Oh yeah, well, you know, right. Yeah, you know the White House is definitely behind this, 100%, no doubt about it.
For sure, and I think they're just saying that they're blaming it on CNN. That's a lot of crap because the CNN loves this. They're finally getting an audience, you know, if they don't, people don't go to Fox and watch it. And they're now going to not allow something in there. It just doesn't, it doesn't add up, as you say. It doesn't, the smell test and the, and what do you say? It's a fugazi, right?
It's, yeah, look, there's no doubt about it. The White House is, they are doing everything they can to protect the White House and protect Biden. There's going to be some things that are said by Biden off mic. They don't want another reporter there reporting on it. However, whatever Trump says, they absolutely will report on. So, yeah, it's advantage sure. Biden tonight. No doubt about it, Greg. No
yeah,
doubt.
And it's like, excuse me, Robert Hur, that report. Why will they not release that? Because he's a mumbling, stuttering fool.
Yeah.
And you know he's going to have his lapses, you know, because he can only scream and yell for so long. That's how, you know, when he feels his momentum drop, and that's when he lets out about the MAGA Republicans and Trump, and he has to stay under control and stay within the debate. So I don't believe it at all. This is definitely run by the White House.
Greg, thanks for the call, buddy. Always appreciate it very much. Michelle is on the main line. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Rich. Hi, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
Great. So I have some thoughts on things. Here are some of my hot takes.
Okay.
I think that perhaps Trump is going to troll Biden and say something to the effect of, I heard you weren't going to pardon your son, so when I'm elected president, I will be pardoning your son, the crackhead, mm-hmm. to try to get Biden to say thank you.
Okay.
They're going to pick on Trump to make him get pissed off, and then Biden's going to collapse, and whatever drug they give him to kill him, he'll, like, die on stage in front of everybody, and they'll blame Trump.
Wow. Now you went to a very dark
That's
place there,
take.
Michelle. You really, like...
Well, they got to get rid of them. They got to get rid of them somehow. And this way, they're like a study of projection. Everything they do is a crazy projection.
Be like. It could be like the end of the movie Dave. Did you ever see? Remember the movie Dave?
Yeah.
With Kevin Kline, where he's giving the speech at the end, and they drops at the podium, and they whisk him out, and they bring the real president back in. I mean, yeah, there could be a moment like that. I don't know if I'd bet on that though, but I definitely think that. There's something afoot tonight, no doubt about it, Michelle. I don't know if I go as far as saying he's going to die, though.
Who knows? But, we can hope it. Well, then we have Kamala, which is a super disaster. But regardless, yeah. I think also Bill Maher, ain't nobody buying his crap.
You don't think so?
Well, the leftists are, which is nice. They're mm-hmm. starting to slowly wake up. But his garbage of saying, I still don't, the Republicans are worse. Everything you're saying is opposite. You're like opposite town here.
Yeah.
Well, you claim to understand the conspiracies as realities and the realities as conspiracies, but not really.
Yeah, look, I get it. I mean, it's a frustrating point about Maher, and I've said this point before. Which is that if you really feel this way, how can you still justify voting for Biden? I think a lot of what he's doing right now is he's reflecting what is being said in the Democrat Party out loud, which is Trump's going to win, the Democrat Party's nuts, the Democrat Party's going to lose, the Democrat Party's out of touch and completely out of control. That doesn't mean they like Trump, but it does show you the pathway for Trump to win, which is exposing the craziness of the left. And the left did this to themselves. I mean, that's how we got into this position. But I get it, Michelle. I wish he'd wake up, too. He seems like such a smart guy. If I ever have the opportunity to get him on the show, I'll talk to him about that.
My final thing to say, and you don't have to comment about this at all, so you can keep your record clean, okay. But I do believe there's a whole lot of Nazis in Ukraine, and there's plenty of evidence about that. And speak to anybody who is a family of people murdered in the Holocaust, and they're going to tell you exactly how willing the Ukrainians were to do the Nazis' bidding. They always were, the same as the Poles always were, and the same as the Lithuanians always were.
Well, I would tell you this, Michelle, and thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much. I would tell you this. It's a very complicated history with Ukraine, the Nazis, and Russia. Because you had Joseph Stalin with forced famines against the Ukrainians. And a lot of them took up with the Nazis. There was an article recently about them wearing Nazi regalia. We did do a story about that. I don't buy Vladimir Putin's argument that that's why he's invaded Ukraine. I think it's much more for energy resources than that. I don't believe him on that point. I also don't think that it justifies like opposition to supporting the war in Ukraine should not be based around whatever Nazi past they had, because there's various reasons why they had it. I think the opposition to the war in Ukraine is based on the fact that it's not working. We're not winning. We're not winning this thing. It's not working, and we're just throwing money at money after money after this, and Putin just keeps getting richer off of this. And at the very same time we're doing this, we have a natural export ban on natural gas, a liquid natural gas export ban. Vladimir Putin is selling his liquid natural gas to our very same NATO allies like France in bigger numbers now than he ever has before. So he's getting rich off this. Ukraine is doing just fine by this. I don't know if you've noticed or not. Zelensky's canceled the elections. He's cracked down on freedom of the press. Ukraine is not a democracy. The other great lie that's told all the time is that Ukraine is some democracy. The two most corrupt countries in the world right now are Russia and Ukraine. So it's very complicated, but this is why the Constitution makes this very clear. Have Congress debate this and then pass a resolution and then outline the goals. And I think the reason why they won't do it is because the American people don't want this anymore. It's part of the reason why Trump's winning. Look, you had a Republican primary with a pro-Ukraine nominee or candidate named Nikki Haley and a few of the others who were kind of dancing on the fence about this. And then there's Donald Trump saying the war ends on day one when I get in there. And that's why Donald Trump is going to be the party's nominee. It's also why the swamp wants to stop him, because this is such a cash cow for the American defense industrial complex. Look, they said it. It was who was it? One of the Biden officials came out and said something to the effect of, look, this money's not going to Ukraine. It's going to Raytheon. It's going to Boeing. It's going to this company and that company. And they're making the weapons and they're sending them to Ukraine. So it's like a gigantic economic boon to America. That's exactly the point. And yet it's not working. It's not, they're not winning. And so, you know, but this is why we have Article 1 of the Constitution. The Congress is supposed to debate this stuff. But David's in New Jersey. David, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. How you doing, Rich?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, at some point tonight during the debate, Trump will have the chance. He should pose a challenge to Biden in the panel. That, hey, Joe, let's dispel the rumors and the accusations and the hype. And right after the debate, we do a drug test. Why not? I'll do one. We'll, you know, it's not like it's not possible.
Yeah.
We'll do one after the debate.
He'll turn around and say, come on, man.
And that's what all the American public in the world needs to hear and see.
Come
on,
man.
Yeah,
they're going to give a B-12 shot in his butt, David. I caught myself there. Kids in the earmuffs. You know what I mean? Earmuffs. All right, buddy. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. The big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneri of VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. It is a debate tonight. It's debate night in America. Vic calling from his car. What's up, Vic?
Oh, hi, Rich.
What's up, Vic?
I think they're going to have a body double tonight for
body
Biden.
Double. I like
That's
it.
That's why he's been sequestered in Camp David.
Yeah, well, listen, it wouldn't be the first time they've used body doubles in American politics before. We'll know if it's a body double if the guy does not have to wear Depends and if the guy is able to speak succinctly for 90 minutes. That'll be the metric. All right, my friend. Thank you for listening very much. All right, 6 o'clock hour straight ahead, fourth and final hour. We got a lot more to get to. Before I go to break, though, I just want to play this quick clip today. Vivek Ramaswamy, who's on the shortlist to become the vice president of the United States, his name is in the mix a lot these days. This is what he said to CNN about Trump agreeing to this debate, cut number 5.
And so I'm looking forward to hopefully what is a policy-rich debate that actually informs Americans of facts they need. I'll also tell you something I told President Trump, and I'll tell you as well, is I give him a lot of credit for doing this debate on the terms that were effectively set by Biden. Mm. Hosted by CNN in Atlanta without a live audience would be the equivalent of Joe Biden agreeing to do a Fox News hosted debate in Alabama with 3,000 live audience members. So I give Donald Trump a lot of credit for that. If you're going to lead the country, you got to be able to show up. And that's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, look, every aspect of this debate was agreed to by the Trump campaign. And, you know, Jake and Dan are award-winning journalists who are relentlessly fair. They will do a fantastic job. The only presidential candidate.
All right, 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in. Tractor Supply Company just announcing they are ending their DEI. That statement just put out a moment ago. For more than 85 years, Tractor Supply has been focused on one thing, serving life out here. Every day, our 50,000 team members take care of our customers like family. We deeply value our relationship with our customers and the communities we call home. We are passionate about being good neighbors in our hometown because without you, we would not be what we are. It is important for us that our customers' hard-earned dollars are taken care of. Our team members and our communities we all love, as you supported us, we have invested millions of dollars in veteran causes, emergency response, animal shelters, state fairs, rodeos, and farmers markets. We have also invested in the future of rural America. We are the largest supporter of the FFA and have longstanding relationships with 4-H and other educational organizations. We work hard to live up to our mission and values every day and represent the values of our communities and customers we serve. We have heard from customers that we have disappointed them. We have taken the feedback to heart. Going forward, we will ensure our activities and giving tie directly to our business. For instance, this means we will, number one, no longer submit data to the Human Rights Campaign. Two, refocus our team member engagement groups on mentoring, networking, and supporting the business. Three, further focus on rural American priorities, including on education, agriculture education, animal welfare, veterans causes, and being a good neighbor, and stop sponsoring non-business activities like pride festivals and voting campaigns. Eliminate DEI roles and retire our current DEI goals while still ensuring a respectful environment. Withdraw our carbon emissions goal and focus on our land and water conservation efforts. We will continue to listen to our customers and team members. Your trust and confidence in us are of the utmost importance, and we don't take that lightly. As we look forward to celebrating our nation's independence, we also celebrate our more than 50,000 team members across 2,250 stores. Rural communities are the backbone of our nation and what makes America great. We are honored to be part of them. We've always been here and ready to serve you and your family with our legendary service for the life you love. See you in the stores. So again, another company realizing that going woke means going broke, and they've decided enough is enough. Good for them. We've got our fourth and final hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.